What's up, guys? It's Scott from Iron Will Strength. This is episode 139. Strong the Iron Will Way. Guys, I've been paying attention for quite a number of years now of people who, I guess just human nature in general, right? Just been paying more attention to why people are the way they are, why people do the things they do, how people who are successful and happy got that way, what makes them that way, what keeps them that way, and, you know, what is it about people who are unhappy and not successful that kind of caused them to be that way, and how could we help them be successful, how can we learn from them, things of that nature. So one of the things that I've recognized is that there are a few kind of core things that separate those people, and to me the most important, or one of the most important, but a very apparent one, is confidence / self-esteem. I can't think of a single successful, happy person that I know that doesn't have a good amount of confidence and self-esteem. They're just happy with who they are, they're confident in their abilities and who they are, and they're pretty happy and pretty successful in their lives. Now, I think about the people that I've encountered that I know who are unhappy, maybe even to the point of miserable, sometimes just downright mean, grumpy, just unhappy with their lives, usually also pretty unsuccessful. And those people generally have not the most confidence in themselves, don't have a great deal of self-esteem, not feeling particularly good about themselves, and that is outwardly displayed in their kind of moods. Now, mind you, some of those people that have those feelings are kind of quote-unquote successful on the outside. You might see them financially successful or in a job or a career that looks like they're doing well, but they're just not happy generally. So the cool thing about this is that confidence and self-esteem can be acquired and gained. The downside to this is you can't just have it, right? I mean, we've all heard people say let's say you're going into a situation where you're uncomfortable, you're nervous, it's not your world. For a lot of people, that's public speaking. For people that are, you know, not gym people, it could be going to the gym. Anything that you're not really familiar with or comfortable with, you're going to be a little apprehensive and lacking in confidence and self-esteem for at least that particular situation. And people will frequently say, you know, just be confident. Just go in there and be confident. Go in there and ask for the raise and be confident. Go and ask for that girl on a date and be confident. Walk into the gym and be confident. Well, I mean, that sounds fucking great, but it's not possible. Your subconscious will know that you're full of shit if you try to be confident in a situation where you have no business being confident because you don't know what you're doing, okay? That is where insecurity and self-confidence comes from, is that you don't actually know. You don't have confidence because you don't have belief in yourself. So, for example, a kid who's never been in a fist fight finds out he's got to have a fight after school with the bully. He can't go in there confidently. Why would he? That would be ridiculous to go in there confidently because he's not prepared. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what he's going to do. What would give that kid confidence is a year of martial arts training and self-defense tactics so that when he got into that situation, he would know what to do, right? So this kind of reminds me of that, as a kind of a parable or whatever, that said the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, but the second best time is now, right? So we think about that. Let's just take the self-defense thing, man. If that's something that, you know, could be a possibility, we need to start preparing for that now. So when the time comes, you do have confidence to handle that situation. So confidence, the beautiful thing about confidence that I've seen, again, with people that I've worked with, people that I know, with myself, is that confidence can be kind of transferred. So what I mean by that is when someone acquires confidence in a certain area of life, that does bleed into others. Obviously not directly, but it builds that confident self-esteem, self-image that allows the person, gives the person permission subconsciously to try new things because there's no more fear. So let me give you an example of that. Let's take the gym. And again, this is why I'm bringing up this example, because I think we can all, everybody, anybody who doesn't work out or isn't particularly in shape right now or never has been or used to be or started at one point, even if you're fit, but at some point you started, I would be willing to bet almost everybody was nervous, self-conscious, uncomfortable the first day at the gym, right? It's normal. You don't know what you're doing. You're going to be around a bunch of people that do know what they're doing. You're very self-conscious to look silly, to just, let's be honest with you. That's mostly what we're worried about. And so stupid if you think about it, right? We're just worried about being embarrassed or looking silly. But that, once we overcome that and we find that, the playing field is a lot more level than I think we think it is. And I'll get into that in a second. But let's say you overcome that fear of going to the gym. You start going, you push past those first few uncomfortable days. Now all of a sudden it becomes your world. You are comfortable there. You become one of the, senior members of the gym, for lack of a better word. So you've been there for a while. You know what's going on. Pretty soon a new person comes and they look up to you for inspiration, for guidance, for help. And all of a sudden you've kind of made it in a small way, right? Even if you're just, ahead of one or two people who are more new than you, you no longer feel like that new person because now you can help guide someone on their journey. So I'll tell you a couple funny stories that will help you relate to this, because I think this is really, really important, especially if you're somebody that's, a little bit intimidated to get started at the gym. two stories. One, and I have to tell this because my wife reminded me that it's one of her favorite stories of mine, but as a kid, I never learned how to really play ice hockey or hockey or anything like that. Where I grew up, wasn't really a popular sport. I played baseball, and pretty much baseball was my sport and other things. So I was probably like 13 or something. We played hockey in high school, just like street hockey, as like a gym class thing. And I really loved it. And I thought, man, I could dig this, and I started watching it, really wanted to learn how to play. Didn't have anywhere to play. Didn't really have any friends that played. I lived in New Jersey, so we'd play in the winter a little bit on the ponds, but I would basically be in my basement with a stick and a puck and a ball, just practicing everything I could practice from watching pro hockey. I didn't have anybody teach me. I didn't really know what to do, but I knew I wanted to play, so I just played constantly. If you took a look at my parents' basement and the back of their house, you would see that I practiced quite a bit and missed the net quite a bit. So this went on and on, and I found there was an ice rink about 40 minutes from my house, and my dad would take me up there every Friday night for open skating, and which was quite a humbling experience for me, because now I'm a freshman, maybe, I guess, but I'm really not a good skater, and all the high school kids are there, and it's a hockey town, so everybody's good skating around, flying around, and I'm just kind of like scooching along the boards. But I want to learn. We didn't have a lot of money, but my dad hired the guy from the pro shop to at least give me a lesson and show me. I remember I couldn't stop, so he was trying to teach me how to stop. So I'm kind of fumbling my way through this thing. But still, playing at home with my friends in the pond and practicing in the basement. So I find out that there's a summer camp, hockey camp in the summer up here at this rink. So we sign up for it. I'm super excited, man. I'm finally going to learn how to play for real. I really don't have any equipment, so I'm doing the best I can to buy equipment. But, we're also on a budget. My dad, my mom are trying to make sure I'm really committed to this before I start spending hundreds of dollars on skates and equipment. So I got cheap plastic fucking skates. I got all my equipment stuffed in a, my dad's army duffel bag, right? So imagine everybody has their new, fancy hockey CCM bags. And I got my shit in an army green cloth bag. No joke. I'm like 14 years old, and I freaking, get dressed like at home or in the car, because I don't even know that there's locker rooms. So I walk in there like a fucking little kid, like eighth grade, like 8 year olds do. I'm fully dressed with my uniform, my fucking sneakers on. All the kids are like in normal clothes, carrying their CCM bags, going to the locker room to get changed like normal people. I am wearing my fucking uniform and sneakers, and I got an army duffel full of my cheap equipment. So I survived the humiliating locker room experience just that. Meanwhile, at this point, I got like long hair. I'm kind of like a burnout kid. And everybody else there is clean cut, athlete, like preppy kids. And I'm just sticking out like a sore thumb, right? So we finally get on the ice. And man, I can barely get from end to end without falling down. And these kids are literally skating circles around me. They are skating backwards, forwards, you know, doing everything. And it's just like, whoa, so, so humiliating. So right away, the first coach has everybody line up at the end. And we're just getting warmed up. We got to skate all the way to the opposite end, stop, and skate backwards to the other. It's back again. Well, first of all, we start, and everybody's down there easily twice as fast as me. So literally everybody's at the end, and I'm halfway there. Now everybody stops. I can't stop. So I go to stop, fall down. By the time I get up to start going backwards, everybody is literally at the other end already. I'm the last guy, and I don't know how to skate backwards. So I can kind of do it, but it's literally taking me so long that the whole place has to wait for me. They, in fact, start their next drill before I'm even back. So this is extremely humbling, worse than humbling, totally humiliating. I don't recall crying at the moment, but I'd be surprised if I wasn't. But I didn't fucking walk off, man. I don't know what it was, but I just wasn't going to quit. I think I learned this from my dad in baseball and sports, and just that was, you know what, man, just don't give up and try hard. Just fucking try hard. Enough. The worst thing would be to give up, man. This is embarrassing and humiliating, but maybe it was helpful that I had a helmet on and a mask. People couldn't see my face, but I just kept trying. So I continued to humiliate myself and be embarrassed throughout the day, but honestly, it just got easier. Like, once I accepted that I was the new guy and I was no good, you know, I got over it. Like, it was no big deal. And the funny part is other people got over it. Like, nobody cared. I'm sure everybody got a good laugh out of the first 15, 20 minutes, but then pretty soon, like, you know, how much can you keep laughing at the fucking new guy, right? Like, at some point, yeah, the guy's just not good. Moving on. So they went about their business. Nobody bothered me. I made it to lunchtime. Called my mom. She wanted to know how it was going. I was pretty sure at this point I'm kind of crying, telling her I'm miserable. She asked me if she wanted to come pick me up. She wanted me to come, her to come pick me up. I said, no, I'm not going home. I'm staying here. So long story short, I made it through the whole week. Managed to get quite a bit better in a week. By the end of the week, I'd be willing to say I was as good as some of the kids that were there and had a big head start on me. Couple things that stood out to me. Number one, as much as most kids probably laughed at me or didn't want to talk to me, there was like one guy that I remember kind of befriended me at lunch breaks and stuff. And I think he kind of looked and he had compassion for me. And that was a big deal, man. So lesson number one, you know, if you're at the gym or at whatever your job or whatever it is, and there's the new person who's struggling, man, they need someone to help them out. And you might never even realize it if you are the person to help them out. But, man, that's life-changing type stuff. So if you have that opportunity to help somebody out that help somebody out that's struggling in any capacity, just by being kind and being friendly with them and reassuring to them, do it. Because without that guy befriending me, maybe I would have gone home. Maybe I wouldn't have come back the second day. Maybe I never would have made it for the week. And lesson number two, which rolls into that, is because this kid gave me the little pat on the back and someone to sit with and enabled me to come back day after day. Hockey became a huge part of my life for the next, I don't know, I played all throughout high school just on this like club team up there, and then I played at college at just a club team, nothing extravagant, but still it was a huge part of my college experience. I met some of my best friends to this day playing that sport. At some point I became the assistant captain of the team. My senior year I was an assistant coach the following year and helped out, and imagine none of that stuff would have happened had I been too embarrassed to show up in the first place and try, because I knew I sucked, and B, if I hadn't stuck it out and if that guy hadn't helped me and been my friend. So keep that in mind if you are, you know, hesitant to join the gym because of that first couple days of being embarrassed. You got to let that go. You got to get through it, because you know, literally everybody that comes here tells me they were super scared and intimidated with the thought of coming. It took them months to send the first email. It took, they might have sat in their car for an hour before they came in. I've had people tell me they turned around at the door once they heard the music and they were intimidated, but without fail, anybody that made it through those doors has stayed and been happy they did, and I would be willing to bet it's been a life-changing experience for all of them and become a huge part of their lives. So you can't let the insecurity and lack of self-confidence of that first day deter you from something that could be life-changing. So what I mentioned earlier, the cool thing about this is I've seen people who now get over this thing of the gym, and they find not only are they now self-confident in the gym, they're actually becoming fit, strong people. Some of them, I think, have shocked all of us and themselves at how strong they become and how quickly they become one of a gym person, so to speak, and begin inspiring others. So once you start to see that confidence develop in the gym, that transcends the gym, and it starts to bleed into other things. So now, let's say you're the person that was afraid to join the gym. You finally did. You realized, hey, I'm actually quite strong. I'm into this. I can be good at this. You got support. You got feedback. You're doing well. Now you decide, I don't know, let's pick something else that's scary. They ask you at work to do a public speaking gig where normally you would shit your pants and not do it. Now you say, you know what? I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to be scared, and I'm going to be nervous, and I'm going to be probably sick to my stomach, but I'm going to do it. And then you do it, and you maybe you're laughing stock. Who cares, right? Maybe you probably won't be, though. I bet you'll do pretty well, because everybody's nervous about public speaking. Nobody wants to do it. And then you might find, what I found is that I start liking it. You know, that was something I literally chose college classes to avoid public speaking. I did not want to do presentations. I never wanted to talk in front of a group. And then it wasn't until I was in my 30s and doing this for a living, running the gym, that I had to start doing it. And I just forced myself to do it. Didn't want to do it, and found that I really enjoyed it. And I think what I enjoyed most is getting past something that I had a fear of. And now I embrace it, and I still get butterflies. I still get excited, nervous. I've learned to change the way I speak to myself, and I call it, I'm excited about it, not I'm nervous about it. That helps a lot. And I just kind of get off on, you know, doing something that I'm scared of. And so this becomes easier and easier as you do it. And this is an essential skill for all aspects of your life, because once you stop doing the things that scare you and the things that make you grow, you're on the way to dying. This is what happens with retirement, and why you see so many people pass away so shortly after they retire, because their life begins to lose meaning. And staying in your comfort zone all the time, your life will lose meaning really quick. So build that self-esteem, build that confidence by trying new things, conquering new things. But the thing you need to remember is it's always going to feel uncomfortable and scary and nerve-wracking to try it. That's not a sign to not try it. If anything, that's a sign you need to try it. And don't be fooled. People that are self-confident, okay, still get nervous and still get uncomfortable with areas in which they're not comfortable, right? So you could throw me into a lot of new situations where I'm not comfortable. I'm very good at playing it off, and I've proven to myself that I can do it and I can get through it, so I'll push myself through situations that are uncomfortable, but I go through quite a bit all the time still where I'm self-conscious about it and nervous about it. Final funny story on that point. So I was talking to somebody recently and having this kind of conversation with her, and she's looking at me and she's like, dude, I don't imagine you being insecure or intimidated in any situation. And I laughed. I'm like, well, I guess I'm doing a good job of portraying that image, but you'd be surprised. I think about this ridiculous story. My son wanted to play in this Nerf war that we had heard about. It was this like underground little event put on by these like this like Nerf club gang. And so we're going to try to find it. It's at this like abandoned store in the mall or something. And on the way there, I'm secretly hoping we don't find it, because I'm like, I'm not intimidated like in a way that's like, you know, something bad's going to happen. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm unsure of what awaits us. You know, I'm picturing all these like dudes that are like super into Nerf guns and having all the fancy equipment and guns. I'm worried about my son being the smallest, youngest kid there, and like getting shot and then getting like upset and getting kicked out of the game. And I'm worried that I'm gonna look foolish because I don't know what the fuck this is all about. But I'm literally like hoping I don't find it, and I'm gonna rob my son of this experience, because I'm kind of embarrassed about showing up at this thing when I'm not a Nerf gun guy, man. This is like, you know, it's like me showing up to a Dungeons and Dragons fucking party. I don't know anything about it. So I'm apprehensive. And I see the sign. The sign is like a tiny little handwritten sign on this door. My son doesn't see it. It would be so easy for me to walk past it. because I really want to. And I had already told him I'll take you to the arcade if we can't find the game. And I was like psyched to just go to the arcade and have a nice, easy thing, place where we're comfortable with. I know everything. I know what we're doing, and it's fun for us. But I saw that sign. I said, man, you can't do it. You can't fucking be a pussy and just be. And this is so stupid, right? But this is, I'm being real. I really didn't want to go, and it's like the perfect out. And I said, you know what, man? You're not doing that to him. This is going to be something that could be, maybe it'll be horrible for him. Right? Maybe they'll all be older. Maybe they'll tease him, pick on him, and hurt, you know? Like, who knows? Maybe I'll end up beating the shit out of one of these guys because they're going to be mean to my kid, but I got to do it. So we walk in, go up the stairs. Sure enough, man, here's these two, like, Nerf gun dudes. They're probably 30 years old, and they're fully decked out in all the gear. They're all strapped up, like, ready to go to war. And here's me and John, like, empty-handed with, like, street clothes on. Like, hey, we're here for the Nerf war. Anyway, fast forward, man. These guys are super friendly, really, really nice. Welcome us in, no problem. And, yeah, we don't really know what we're doing. We have, you know, the guns that aren't as cool as the other guys got. We don't have all the gear on. But we had a great fucking time. You know, we managed to play quite well. As I'm watching these guys, I'm like, you know what? They're all dressed up and they got all the stuff on, but they're fucking no different than us. Like, they're not particularly good at this either. Not that there's anything to be good at, really. But, you know, there's some stuff involved. But, like, we held our own. We had a great time. I totally want to go back and do it again. And I got a little rush out of it because it was something that was out of my comfort zone. I made myself do it. My son loved it and loved it, loved it. And I just think, man, had I just let, again, that little intimidation factor just make me stick with what's comfortable, go to my usual spot, go to our usual arcade, we would have totally missed out on something that was, you know, a really, really memorable moment for us. And then those things like move on. Like, now we're planning to have a big Nerf gun event at our house soon because it was so cool. And, like, that never would have occurred to me to have that without this thing. And, you know, we made friends with some of the guys there, and they were awesome, and they'll probably come to the Nerf thing. So it's just, you know, pushing yourself outside that comfort zone is so important, and it just gets easier and easier, everything you do. So remember, you can build that self-confidence muscle just like anything else. Just takes a little bit of work and some balls to try it. Have a great day, you guys.